episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Creative Lisa and Anonymous. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Welcome to Wherever You Are. This is Bongversations episode 15, which is 105 is 6. And I'm on, it's Sunday, the 17th of November 2024. And I've got the wonderful Dave J, the man who de-occulted the Rockford Files last week. Who's done that before? Nobody. There he is, the man himself, Dave J. How are you, man?
Hi, cheers, man. Cheers. Everything's cheers. Going well.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, we've decided to talk about the X-Files today, a fascinating show from the 90s. And it only finished up a few years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, the last series. There was 11 series. There's a whole lot of mysterious stuff in that. But
It ended in 2018. I was telling you before, I leave season 11 on the cutting room floor.
Interesting, so, Dave. Yeah. Interesting that there was it was originally 9 seasons, and they came back and did 2 more, so I added up to 11. So you had 9-11, the first original 9, and then the other 2. Very interesting. Coincidence.
Yeah, and then you had the movie between 9 and 10, I Want to Believe, which is also another, you know, sure miss. That was four movies trying to become one. You know, it was four movies. It didn't know what it wanted to do. It was just sloppy. And even the environment, much like the first 5 seasons of X-Files before the first movie, where they were doing their filming in Vancouver and in the Northwest more. So you had darker scenery, always kind of wet, lots of trees. And then they moved to Southern California after season 6 and after, and they had that disaster in season 7 with the cops episode, that ridiculous kind of crossover episode. That's when it was like started to jump the shark a bit.
Jumping the shark, literally. Yeah. And so Chris Carter, there's a CC there. His production company is 1013, which is allegedly his birthday, but it's also got this 311 backwards, or 33 if you have 11 times 3. There's mysterious numbers there. What episodes have you got in your incredible mind to discuss?
Well, I was thinking that, of the three main characters that you have Scully, Mulder, and, you know, the creator or the writer, Chris Carter. So that was, so you have Julian Anderson and Duchovny and Chris Carter. So Chris Carter was a Long Beach University grad, and he was a journalism. And now you'll notice that that's very similar to last week with Cannell and
interesting
the Rockford Files. Then you had Anderson who was a graduate of DePaul, which is a Catholic research university, and you have what's his nuts, Duchovny, who was a Yale and Harvard guy.
Wow. Now, there's some universities there. He's got two of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now Yale goes back to, of course, then the idea of Skull and Bones and that type of thing. Now, what I find interesting,
Scully. Oh,
Scully
the
and Bones.
Scully,
Scully. So then I was thinking about going just to the season 10, episode 6, which is my struggle too. And I tell you another within the series of X-Files, like the ones that are just the hardest to watch just because of Scully's overacting or Anderson's overacting are all the ones that are Scully centric. Where she's dealing with this her so-called faith, because if you notice she went to DePaul in real life, therefore she's a like a Jesuit, a female Jesuit who's meant to go out and sow for their master who they work for, those who call themselves the Jews and who are not, they're the revelation type, those who are here to sow the tare or the seed, the false ideas. So then you follow this character through the whole series, how she's pretending to wrestle with her so-called faith. And then at the beginning of season 10, episode 6, she does a voiceover, which will really just bring you, if you haven't watched the show from the beginning, it'll bring you up to speed from the beginning quite quickly through like a slideshow. And the scene before they cut to the iconic opening music is that she walks to the camera and she says that it was alien, and then her face morphs into what you see as a gray alien.
Well,
now, yeah. So then we've already talked about this with the idea of communion. Remember the communion, the idea of the communion within the Catholic Church, also the idea of the Whitley Strieber movie, Communion, and the book of the book, and that clown. And if you've ever, if you watch that movie, that's some overacting at the beginning too. But with the Whitley Strieber character, remember the alien is the idea of the idea of a demon.
Demon, yeah.
You know, it's not an outer space alien, but the idea of a demon or a spirit or an idea, an idea believed on to give you the night haunts or the night frights. So then X-Files in simple gematria, equals 75, which reduces to 12 or 3. Remember, 3 is a ring.
Yep.
Or an idea, a ring. So the X-Files, also X, if you notice, X or the 24th letter, 6. And we're talking about season 10, season 10, episode 6, which is the 616, or the idea of the 19 reversed, or the idea of guess what, the 7, or the mind, the mindset. So these are a mindset of files, which are going to be shown to you in story form. All right. So then, what's interesting about the idea of the false ring is just to kind of go backwards a little bit. If you look at the X Files and 75 in the simple gematria, it's going to be the same as ChatGPT, for example. Esther. Esther's the idea of in the Jewish
Old Testament.
Yeah. The idea of a woman who under the cover of hiding her identity gets into the position of influence and then reveals that identity, being Jewish, to use that power to then subjugate a result. So then, and then also Jeffrey Spender, the idea of the smoking man within the smoking man within the X-Files lore. He's quite literally the devil character or the Satan character. As you'll tell in this episode, season 10, episode 6, he identifies as the devil, quite frankly. And then,
interesting.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And then, so then it's also Ishtar. Now, the idea of Ishtar, the eighth gate of Babylon, the eighth gate, or the idea of the eight, or the consumption, the eight. Also, think of the eight. What's the cross? It's two circles. What's the cross if you isolate it? But the X.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Also the symbol for the Antichrist, I do believe, in ancient days.
Yeah, the idea of infinity, which is the idea of time without end, but that's not the same as eternity. It's a different thing, because it's the idea of a spark going one way, then back onto itself, onto the other way, not continuing forward. Mm-hmm. So it's a different idea. It's an idea of encapsulation, which is totally different. It's a false ring. And then it's also the idea of the Lord God. Now, you'll notice if somebody wanted to do Bible study, go to where the introduction of Lord God is replaces in Genesis God. There's a specific change there, and there's a reason there's a change there, because there's a fork. There's a choice between the Lord God one chooses in this realm, the God of this world, the idea of Satan, or the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way out of this world. They're two separate ideas. All right. And then also the same 75, the Lamb of God. So you see that there's lots of, you see that there's the idea of ways or gates, rings, offers, and then intent within the English gematria of that word or that phrase, X-Files, which if I say X-Files to different people who know it, there's a whole universe, or thought in their head. They can go through a favorite episode. They can go whatever their containment of knowledge is. They're able to go through it or relive it within their so-called imagination. Which I find interesting.
Yeah, well, there's so many different stories, so many different writers, and went all over the place, basically encompassed every conspiracy theory back in the day you could possibly have was all tied up in it, and you're actually spun into a different realm of sensibility, basically, because it made you more confused at the end than you were at the beginning.
And in fact, that was the biggest thing, Rick, was the biggest annoyance I had with the show is how it abused the audience, meaning that it would present an idea as if it's going to be actually looked at, but then it will mock it at the same time.
Exactly. That's exactly 100%. Yeah. You've got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was also then thinking about the idea of the eight. And of course, remember the idea of Ishtar, the eighth gate, the idea, and that being Babylon, and then the idea of rebellion, or so then Hanukkah, which is the idea of a celebration where they have and this is where you see that the world is under the spell of this false idea, is where this Hanukkah, or this idea of the menorah, which is in its original state seven, it's the seven, but in what's called the Hanukkah menorah, it's going to be nine okay. places. The center candle with eight little deals on the side, four on each side. All right. So then what happens is you from the center, you light each side. And what that's supposed to do is it's supposed to say that this is in remembrance of preservation, meaning that we had a day's oil, and then that through the grace of God, through being chosen, that we were brought through the eighth day without expiring, or without having this oil expire. That then is, of course, called the miracle of the oil, you know. Yeah. If you've ever heard that. So what that's saying is that it's the idea of faith, that in the end you will be delivered, that's kind of what that. But if you see, it's a backhanded story, because it's being told by those that continually tell you that they're under persecution when they're not. And they're the same people who brought you the Holocaust and those fables, you know. So these are the stories that Titus warns about in the New Testament, that these are the type of stories that you do not need to heed or worry about, because they're just speaking and asking you to act as a you know, see certain characters as heroes when they are being presented as rebellious, or actually quite literally acting like little snakes or rats.
Yeah,
you know. Yep. So yeah, so then within the My Struggle or My Struggle 2 episode, you have the and I should go back to say this, that whenever you're dealing with the idea of redemption or rebellion, you're dealing with the idea of chance or struggle. There's something called a dreidel. And have you ever seen?
You spin it.
Yeah, they spin it. Now there's four sides. There's the nun, the gimel, the he, which is like the fifth letter, and the shim, or shim. Which is the 21st. So you have this idea that, and this is where this game is taught to these people, because in the area I grew up in LA, I actually went to some kids' so-called parties. I thought they were their birthday parties, but they were playing this thing. And I'm like, well, how do you do it? And don't be the kid that brings raisins. All right. Bring the kid like me who doesn't know what he's doing, brings the M&Ms. So I had some, and what you do is you use any type of little tradable currency, you know, M&Ms, raisins, peanuts, whatever. You put it on the ground, you spin this thing, and if it lands on none, it just like it sounds, you get none. If it lands on gimel, it just like it sounds, you get it. All right. If it lands on like hey, you get to take. This is where it's taught. Like this is where the idea of usury. Well, not really. Usury is coming up next, but where they're taught the idea of business. You never go into business 50-50. If it falls on hay, you go into 50 plus one. You're always in charge. So what happens is if you land on that, you take, and then the pot is uneven, you take half of it and you take plus one.
Yeah.
All right. You
never. Was it a gambling game or just a fun game?
No, it's taught to children so that they learn how business works, because business is not complicated. It's really quite these four steps. They're actually teaching them business by this game. This game teaches them business. And then, of course, if you take the plus one, you're always going to be in charge. Just like you're not going to own their company. You can buy stock in it, but there's never going to be available to where you actually get to say anything.
Gotcha.
You know, that's how that works. So then it really just teaches them the and then also, guess what you get to do in this game? You get to borrow. You get to borrow and make loans from people.
Wow.
It's a game of it. Just went up.
Interesting. Sesame Street had Elmo playing the dreidel song, singing the dreidel song, and they had the dreidel on Sesame Street, probably in the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah.
What's the
there you go.
It's the idea of, however, it's related to the game of chance or to the gamble, but however, that's just teaching not to be on the sucker side of it. You're on the business side of it, meaning that you're the one who's doing this. If you know what move was made, then you can react to it, right? Yeah. So then they're teaching them how to run the business, not to be the sucker sitting in the chair. You know, that's where the goy sits. So they teach them. Yeah, they teach them how to run business, and run business means you're not getting your hands dirty. You're running it.
And it's four sides. Yeah. It's interesting. You got the Dalet, Dalet door.
Yeah. 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 And then, yes, the way in. And then that 2D of four, the 3D, the dreidel is offered because you have the point and then the little spinning handle. So it's really just a business tool. It's like, okay, do you want to go to business class? You can go to college for, you know, 4 or 5 years, or I can.
Or play the dreidel guy.
Or I can sit and show you this dreidel and what it actually means.
It's fascinating, right? Man. Fascinating.
Yeah, I found it quite interesting. I because we used to play Monopoly a lot back then in the 70s as well.
Oh, yeah.
And
big time.
And Monopoly is really a game of business as well. So that they, it, but it's more for the goy class that was given Monopoly.
Definitely. It was in every house, and literally in every house, and you played it with your friends. It was Monopoly was an incredible game that was literally everywhere, So fantastic. Or on the X-Files.
So getting to that episode, I sent you earlier. I sent you a couple clips photos. And what's going on is you'll notice that's the same scenario being hatched now. You have the different character. You have the smoking man who is burned. The thing with X-Files is they'll bring characters back who at the end, you know, you thought they were long gone, and they'll have this elaborate story to bring them back to you know, for a point, which is basically all of season 11. But then with season 10, the smoking man comes back, and he's in a position of offering a way out to Mulder, to Scully, to Reyes, to the different characters so that they wouldn't be affected by disease. Now, what happened is Scully finds out that during the smallpox vaccination program that a Spartan virus, what was called a Spartan virus in the story, was deployed, meaning it was a virus, so-called, quote-unquote, within a virus, quote-unquote, meaning that it was a payload to at a certain time, well, not only at a certain time activate, but also infect or activate within so-called sperm and eggs. So therefore, you could be then born with the condition, right?
Yeah.
Now this goes into the idea of born sin, or the sin passed on from generation to generation, moving from just the idea of a family or someone believing something.
Original sin that you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about any sin, just any sin is a lie believed on.
Yep.
Gotcha. Original sin has nothing to do with you or me. I mean, all you can do is live your own life. So just within your own life, you know, sin is when you know you're not doing something correct. That's, you know that. You know when you're doing that. Yeah. No one has to tell you that. So that's what that means. And what's interesting is that this is called My Struggle Too.
Hitler's book was My Struggle, Mein Kampf.
And the idea, what's interesting about this is that the Tad O'Malley character is like an Alex Jones character, is taken off the air by threat and then comes back on to reveal the big what's going on. And I noticed that even in the so-called real world, which is all make-believe as well, that the Alex Jones character is pretending to be taken down by the so-called Onion. The so-called Onion, which is a joke newspaper, and it's always been a joke. So it's quite literally they're telling you it's a joke in the headline, and yet people will still run with it. So then go back into the X-Files. Now this is going to be 1998 now. So then when this episode comes out, so you have the O'Malley character is like the Alex Jones character. All right.
Okay. Shock job.
Okay. I'm sorry. This one came out in 2016. I was talking about the actual starting of the thing. So yeah, this character, this actual, My Struggle 2 aired on February of 2016. So then the O'Malley character is like the Alex Jones character who tells people after being threatened to be taken off, comes back and tells the so-called people what's going on. Of course, everything is when it's too late. Then of course they give you the general idea of the overloaded hospitals and this, that, and the other, all of which you've already heard before. And then of course they give you the idea of a way out. And then the struggle is the moral question of, do you take the way out? Now in this case, here's the question. The question was offered in the backwards way of saying, do you take a vaccine to get out? Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like the idea of the switcheroo. The old, it's like, no, I'm not nothing. I'm not taking nada. That's the correct answer. No. Yeah. It's the correct. However, it's leading to this idea that it's like, if you can just change the polarity of the intent of the injection, you can tell somebody, oh, now this, if I give it to you, it's going to stop all the crap that you already have in you from the other one. The low level is going to take that as being a pretty good chance, right? Because what is it that they're worried about? They're worried about expiring. That's their, that's all they have no existence past that. They are literally the lowest common denominator. All right. That is why the idea of minnow. All right.
Yep.
Minnow. The idea of minnow. I found it interesting because the reason that I bring minnow up is like the idea of a fish. But it's like the very small fish in a school fish. And the idea of minnow equals 47 in simple geometry. 47 is the same as like a swastika. Four sevens together. So it's the idea of the sunset.
Yeah.
But also in minnow, it reduces to 7 is it reduces to 11 or 2 or a concern. Season 4, Episode 7 was The Musings of a Cigarette Smoking Man. Now, that is where he goes back. And the reason I say that he's tied in with the devil or claiming he's the devil is you were just talking about a song talking about a man who said that you, being the public, and he, being Satan, killed or murdered JFK.
Yeah, the song Sympathy for the Devil by the Rolling Stones.
Okay. Yeah, so then how then is that a true statement? Because here's the true statement in that, because you know the devil's a liar, but the truth can be seen if you look at it cockeyed. What he's saying is that you, the public, and me, the devil, the liar, killed JFK, meaning the devil put the story out and you believed it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Are you witnessing it back to your neighbor and to the public and to yourself, more importantly, to the window or to the mirror? You okay.
Right.
Because you keep
telling
me that he's dead.
Yeah.
So who are you blaming me for? You know, that's what he's saying. So then the music of the cigarette smoking guy, he claims to be the one who shoots JFK. Do you see now, in the Sympathy of the Devil, he tells you that, so he's, by the episode 4-7, which is the sun sign, the cigarette smoking guy, who later on in season 10, episode 6, we're talking about, shows himself to be the devil, the one giving the choice.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, I just thought of that because minnow also means abide. Now, abide is interesting. That abide means not only to abide, to stay with, but to trust and to stand under.
Yeah.
So you abide in a teacher, or you abide in this. You abide, so it not only is it a choice being made, but it's a choice being made to substitute yourself to something else, right? So then you're abiding or no. Yeah, and so then that is the choice the smoking guy's saying, yes, you're going to live, but you're going to live under my rule.
Yeah.
Right? So then, he presents himself in that. Yeah.
Interesting. So, you know, the there is a gist to the smoking man that it suggested he may have been Mulder's real father in the show. So there's a bit of a.
Jeffrey Spender is such a pencil neck that Jeffrey Spender is the one who actually pretends to be the son of Smoking Man, who he may be from another storyline, but the smoking guy detests him. He can't stand him, right? He's such a twerp, and the But yeah, Mulder, in fact, that's the thing in episode 10, the one we're talking about, season 10, episode 6. He brings him into Mulder. Well, they send a hitman to get Mulder. Mulder, after this overly long fight scene, winds up miraculously, like through teleportation, in the study of the smoking man with a gun to his head. You know, don't worry about how he got there. And then, then they go into this dialogue about, you know, how he loves him, blah blah blah. So yeah, that's where that does come in, and in fact, it's explicitly spoken about by the smoking man to Mulder, almost in the way of a Darth Vader to Luke type of thing.
Yeah, exactly the same. You're 100% that. There you go. Yeah. It's rather than, look, you know, Mulder, I am your father. You know,
And I will say that Minnow also, with the idea of 47, it also equals time, like time, which is, you know, Saturn time, the idea. It also equals Babylon. It also equals, you know, a Caesar. So the idea of Caesar proclaims himself to be God, right? Yeah.
This is through gematria number.
Through 47, yeah. And then it also equals alone, because then who can be God but one who then is alone, unless he brings what into him? All right, his children.
Yeah.
Now then, so then if you see then who then in this place is being offered as also analogous to the smoking man, but even through what's considered history, you see somebody like through the Socratic dialogues by the so-called Plato character. Plato, the idea of broad and wide, or the way is broad and the gate is wide to destruction.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, Minnow is the name of the one who asks Socrates the questions, and Socrates is the one who lays in doubt to the foundation. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have this idea that's passed through, and then of course musings of a cigarette smoking man. The muse is the idea of the demon. The muse is the idea of one who animates the idea. So then I'm not going to give the end for anyone who hasn't seen what happens. However, you will notice that of all episodes, the episode that did air in 2016, the My Struggle 2, 10th season, episode 6, there was only 6 in that season. Which is interesting because that, of course, is not only the 16 or the 19 Metonic cycle, but the 7. You notice that it's going to be, and that the nurse is named Sandeep. And you'll notice that, so like the idea of so you have this Indian or kind of a Hindu type influence as being the nurse. Who is being given direction on how to treat the patients. So then that goes into today's world where you have the so-called servant becoming the master. We've talked about that with the different characters in the UK and, you know, the different so-called Indian characters becoming more powerful, even in Australia and places like that.
Yeah.
So the servant becoming the master idea.
Yep. Yep, 100%.
Because what happened is the master class, which is represented by the cigarette smoking man and the so-called cabal, they screwed everything up by living deliciously and not investing in the future of their own people. Do you see? That allowed the so-called uprising or the amassing, which is spoken about in the Maccabean revolt. The idea we talked about earlier with the idea of the Book of the Maccabees and the idea of revolting against a power structure. But in this case, it's showing you that is what it was just by population alone that was going to happen. You could see it happening because it was a chosen avenue.
Yeah. Yeah, the Smoking Man, to me, the actor that played him, he was not a smoker. I was watching him, and the way he touched his cigarettes and held his cigarettes and put it in his mouth, I could tell he was a fake smoker. You'd think
William
would have
B.
found.
Davis.
Well, yeah. you'd see he was a Canadian, right? And he went from obscurity into quite big stardom with this role. But I can't believe they wouldn't have found, out of all the actors in Hollywood, an actual guy that smoked cigarettes to play the role of the smoking man. The guy does not smoke. I guarantee you now, you can Google it and find that the guy never smoked a cigarette in his life. Just the way he holds them.
Yeah, in fact, one of the trivial things that was put out was he put that out that he didn't.
Yeah. Well, I can tell just the way he handled them and the way he put them out, they were not that of a smoker. It was that of a non-smoker. So he was a fake smoking man to start with.
So you see that the traits of the character just follow, even if you look at the details, because guess what? The devil's in the details. So you looked into the details and you found the devil, the deceiver.
Yep.
And also there's an agent who's playing like the antagonist a bit against Scully in this episode, and her name is Agent Einstein.
you've got to be joking. I haven't seen that. I definitely haven't seen that. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So now
speaking of deceivers. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what happens is Einstein at the beginning is so full of, you know, fluff and furious, like, oh, that's all ridiculous, blah blah blah, and of course that represents the idea of modern thought. And then Einstein is brought into later in the episode through, guess what, blood, through the
really?
Idea of, yes, through blood, and the idea of sequencing DNA, quote unquote, to create a vaccine.
Right.
Okay. So then science, so-called, old science, so-called, and even remember we were talking about the Socratic dialogue with Plato and Meno, now, don't these jokers also claim to have like a Socratic oath, which is supposed to be some made up thing that they're not supposed to do any harm, you know? And the Scully character will always overact. That's kind of a side thing, but she's always looking to push the boundary of death or life. And the reason I say this is because she's a lukewarm believer through the entire series, and in the end. And in this episode at the very beginning with that morphing of the face into the gray alien, she completely becomes part of the deception because the so-called inoculation that's going to be made, or the vaccine that's going to be made, is taken from a sequence of a DNA swab from her cheek, Scully's cheek.
Isn't it interesting? Her name's Dana Scully, isn't it?
Dana DNA.
There's a there. Mm-hmm.
DNA. Well, she's the one who then the sequencing is done by Einstein to create the vaccine. All right. And that's only halfway through the show. I'm not going to give the rest away, but that's, I brought you halfway through it, but that's going to be enough to kind of tell you that kind of truth, or the idea of art will mix into the idea of what's so-called news and what people accept as being true.
About three years later, we come into the DNA sequencing of vaccine bullshit that we just went through. So it was a pre-warning. It was a preemptive TV show scripting for sure, 100%.
Yeah, so it's 8 years from really 8 years ago. And then, you know what the running time, no prizes on the running time of the episode, 43 minutes. That's your seven. Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, 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 ding.
No prizes for that. Okay. So what's also interesting about the Maccabean and the idea, how that all kind of comes in, is the idea of Mecca, or what you hear
Mecca being, for sure.
yeah, or
that's
Mecca,
cute.
And also,
yep, 100%.
And also, yep. And also, Mecca, M-A-C-C-A, Maccabees, Mecca, the idea of the hammer, and the idea of the hammer, or ham, and the idea of the passed on curse on the son Canaan,
yep.
They would be servants to their brothers. That's in Genesis 9, 20 through 27. All right. So if you want to look at the idea of that, but also if you're looking at the idea of bees, just the idea of bees in the Old Testament, it's different than the New Testament. In the New Testament, it's going to talk to you, you know, about bees, as being, you know, let's say, for example, here's another seven, Matthew 3:4. That's your yep. seven, talking about John and wild honey being consumed as sustenance. In Revelation 10:10, that's your idea of your input output, the idea of the little scroll tasting sweet as honey but being bitter in the stomach, so meaning that you're going to, yeah. So yeah. And then in the Old Testament, there's a lot of different relationship. And then I'll end just in my head right now. I'll give you a couple, but then let's end with one that's relevant to kind of like 9/11, to bring it back to where most people kind of started to get, you know, to see things as they are. You have Deuteronomy 1:44. Which yep. talks about a swarm of bees. You have Psalms 118:22, which yep. which is another type of insinuation of a swarm of bees. And then, of course, in speaking of Samson, of course, you know, you'll know Samson with 9/11 fame is within Judges 14:8-9, the idea of the carcass and eating honey. And of course, yep. there's no mention whatsoever of the idea of swarm or attack. It was just the idea of consumption yep. through carcass. Meaning, what is that? Is spiritually the idea of life from death. Meaning that there is something past that corruption of flesh,
yep.
even of the lion. Or even of the big, even of the wildest, the most fierce beast, there is still from that carcass the chance of and the continuation of life if you choose to accept it or eat it, right? And you get that strength. So then that yep. kind of, and so that's where that ties in. So the idea of honey, just look at it, just write it down on the piece of paper, just write down honey, and then bend the little H up. All right, or bend it down, I should say, and you got money.
Money, yep. And well, so and also one eye. It's also uh-huh. got. It's so basically, I see the H and the M as the twin tails with a V yeah. or a bar in between them, and the one eye. So systems of control. There's only what? Two words that ends in N-E-Y in the dictionary, yeah. and that's honey and money, and they're both systems of control. I've heard that many years ago, and it's 100% guaranteed.
Yeah, no money, no honey.
No honey, yep.
Yeah, no. Well, what's interesting about how you said the idea of the V in between, that's exactly right, because if you take the idea of 22 letters within the so-called Hebrew whatnot, and then you have the idea, have the idea of 26, well, the 22nd letter is your V, your separation. And the idea of your so-called 33 would be one, your C, and then your 21st letter, U, would be CU or UC, yep. right? So you see this, that, or the other thing. CU, this, that, or the other thing. The V is the separation of the 22, the idea of the door or the dalet.
Yep.
Because if it 2 + 2 = 4, the door and the dalet. So the V, the idea of the V is not a V. It's not straight up and down. It's more set up as that of a Jacob's ladder, meaning that if you then put a spark on that V, at some point when it gets to the top of those posts, it's going to go off into space, you know, into the ether. And if it is not straightened, if it's not put on the straight and narrow, it will then dissipate. What I find interesting, though, about that is that's where the separation between that's where the chop off, because English, what what you hear is English is the first language. So then those last four bits, W, X, Y, Z, are cut off, right? Yeah. So then if you then cut those off, that's another door. That's your 44-8. Do you see how there's a bit of the tail? There's a rattle. The rattle was cut off of language at that point. So if you cut the rattle off, you can't get to the point, because the rattle gives you the intent of the creature, right? The rattle. How does it rattle? Is it rattling with intent to strike?
Yeah.
Or is the rattles? And so that's why those letters taken away, that power is taken away. The Y at the end of money or honey, the Y at the end is mon or hun. What? Without that 25th letter, the 2-5 or the 7, without the mind and intent of the word, and you don't finish it, they won't know what you were talking about. Even though you're almost there, you're only one sound away, but without that sound, it's not complete and you won't be understood.
Yep, exactly. And also, as I said, phonetically, one eye. You could also say the O N E Y is one eye. And which you've got that logo on the top of your dollar bill over there, and the top of it's a very powerful logo. You keep seeing all these stars sticking their hands over their eyes. I don't know if Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny have been photographed.
They all do. There's one eye, zero exceptions.
It's true.
Zero exception, Rick. Zero.
I totally agree. Oh, that's fascinating, Dave. Very interesting breakdown, and just me popping in my head about the Scully, because I've always looked at Scully, but now, the skull and bone, Scully, they get that logo in your head.
What's terrible about that, now that you just said that, because it brought Mulder to mind, and it brought the idea of in the movie, and it's between the seasons. It's I Want to Believe is what it's called. Yep. It's terrible. And the creepiest scene of that whole show is because Scully overacts through the whole thing, of course, and she's laying sideways on the bed. So you have this idea of the camera looking at her face sideways, and you know she's laying there, she can't sleep. And then that creep Mulder's face pops up from behind her, like, oh. And he's got the most ridiculous fake beard on you've ever seen. and what's interesting is thankfully right after that, you can fast forward, by the way, the button works well for scenes like that. And then once he gets up, he puts shaving cream on his face, right, on this fake beard. And then the scene cuts to the next scene. He walks out and you can see his face is clean shaven like it normally is. And he has just the shaving cream on. What I found interesting is why would the beard was not necessary for the scene. But what's interesting about that was that twice in that episode, he did something there was an identity, and I call him like a eunuch. There's an identity that he made to being a woman, one by himself. And then when they got to the ice skating rink or the swimming pool, he went to the men's restroom. He looked up, he shook his head no. He looked to the women's and he walked in. And then the guy at the register says, doesn't he know that that's for women?
Wow.
Twice. So it's like three. Yeah. So, but that's in the movie. And let me tell you what, if you watch I Want to Believe, which came out in 2008, don't do it because I told you to, because it is very bad. It's just a bad movie. It's just a terrible movie.
Yeah. They basically were just, I don't know whether they were jumping the shark or just trying to keep the whole show in people's memories to reiterate, but we're still around. I mean, his name was Fox Mulder, not just Mulder, Fox Mulder. Right. And Fox is your 666.
Yeah.
It's a crafty
son
creature.
Of Satan. Basically, son of the cigarette smoking man, if you follow, like you were saying, that he was the son. So if the cigarette smoking man is the Satan character or the devil character, that would make Mulder the son of the devil.
Exactly. The Antichrist. Yeah. And so, yeah, for sure. So, yeah, man, fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So, very interesting stuff.
And we got to do. Reminded me though. We got to do V TV show. You're talking about V's all the time. The TV.
Well, the V, yeah.
We'll do that eventually. But that's a really interesting show to discuss as well.
Yeah, I remember when that came out for sure. Absolutely.
There's unlimited. The way you're breaking a basic show down. And not this isn't a basic show. X-Files is a very powerful show. Make no mistake of that. There's a lot of stuff in there, from chemtrails to aliens to possession to abduction, et cetera, et cetera. And you bring Whitley Strieber into it. It's all full.
Swamp
full
monster, of swamp gas, Bigfoot. Everything. Yeah, you Bigfoot. Name it.
Mm. Shapeshifters, ghosts, everything Super you could possibly soldiers. Want. Super Soldiers, an incredible show. So, when it came out, I wasn't what I would call straight into it, but I ended up binge watching through a friend of mine who had videoed all the episodes when I was on holiday once, and I watched about 3-4 seasons in a couple of days. I was fascinated because there was some really interesting stuff in that.
I like the Lone Gunman, when they did their own show.
But they were great. They were great characters.
Yeah,
and they made,
great characters.
Yeah, and they made out the conspiracy theorist types to be lunatics and living at home with their mother types, really weird looking. Yeah. And
you remember, the whole newspaper basically represented or revolved around the hoax JFK assassination, which we already talked about. See how it goes back to the musings of the cigarette smoking man. So you see how these guys are quite literally looking for the same guy who's and they cross paths a few times. And in fact, at the end, I won't give away that, but then that deals with the idea of the remote control planes going in the towers.
Going to the towers. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So then these guys, so you see how the small the
actual, it came out 2001 too. That I just have to reiterate that the Lone Gunman show was only months before the no planes went into nothing. Controlled demolition movie that you watched on TV. We will discuss this on the Bongversation because once people have started waking up, they'll start learning that you just watched a very poor movie that day. Very poor movie. Dave will smash that out of the park. We'll save that for another special time, but fantastic. Keep going, Dave. Anything you want to bring up on
I was going to just say the Lone Gunmen have some pretty good side quests. As far as stories go, I won't talk too much about like some of the one-offs. I wasn't a real big fan of some of the one-off episodes. I like the kind of the Black Oil, the Syndicate, the alien and there were two alien factions, the rebel aliens, and of course so then those are the idea. All that is always the idea of spiritual warfare, meaning that you have the idea of good and bad, those that are trying to corrupt so-called humanity and those who are trying to stop the corruption. So you have that kind of that you, and that's all called storyline. So you kind of have storyline and like Monster of the Week type episodes.
Yeah.
There's a few Monster of the Week type episodes that were pretty good. And in fact, what would be my favorite one? The first one is pretty good. The first episode is pretty good because it does a lot of location shooting. And I noticed that when they establish shots on the outside to where you can actually see things, I like that a little, because it's not so claustrophobic as some episodes where it's more like in the office, You know, that to me was, yeah, a lot of those episodes seem claustrophobic. I like ones that are set and they do location. Like when speaking of last week, the first few episodes of Rockford Files had a lot of location B-reel. You know, as they were going from scene to scene, they took a little while to kind of show you some of the road and the sights of the city. I like that kind of long rotation intro. But as the show gets later on, they just start to pile in more writing. And so it doesn't really let you, it doesn't let you establish kind of the mood as much.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So
I just have to reiterate, you did a film appreciation course back in the day. So that's where you've got a bit of a background in analysis of film and TV.
Well, anyone who watches film appreciates it. All that type of class or setting does is makes you say why. Somebody says, "Oh, that was a great film." Okay, why?
Why? Okay. Trivium basically, isn't it? What? Yeah, why? It's correct. How? What? Where? And why? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, well, tell me exactly, you know, tell me what I'm going to do when I watch this so that when I watch it, I'll say, now I've already been told kind of what to expect. I'm not going to miss it. Now I see what you mean. There you go. If you're trying to catch it just by yourself, if you don't have that thought in your head, how can you recognize it? But if you're told about something and you're looking for it, then you see it. Once you see it yourself, then you become aware of it, and you becoming aware of it is going to be a power into itself. Do you see? Because then you might see something and you come back and you say, "Hey, bing, bing, bing." But then how you know it's true is then if I look and say, "Yeah, it's there," then you have like a confirmation. It's not just some figment of imagination type idea.
Yep. 100%. Fascinating.
Yeah, man.
Well, Dave, I think we'll leave the X-Files out alone after fantastic, amazing breakdown. And
if you see that episode, Rick, if you see the one we talked about,
have you anything interesting to talk about? Any purchases of relaxation herb this week, or any techniques for those people out there that practice the herb superb for their relaxation and lifestyle? Herbs,
yes. Well, really just my weekly pickup of my flower choice this week was a nice granddaddy purp, which is granddaddy like a mint of, GDP. It's known on the street as GDP. It really has a fruity and quite frankly, a grapey smell. It's quite purple as far as the leaves are quite purple and dark. It's a cross. So you're really going to have Mendocino perps, or what's called Mendocino perps, is the main plant. If you can get Mendocino perps, that's a very good flower. You're not going to find better genetics than that. But, but Granddaddy Purp is like a next level cross. So it's very relaxing, as you can tell. It's very it keeps you nice and easy, and it's really, the smoke is thick. It feels like it fills you up, you know, when you ingest.
Is there a certain techniques of drawing whatever to create more of it? More of it, as you say, filling. Is there a way of doing that, or is it just a particular grafting or whatever?
There's a couple different points. One, it needs to be frosty, meaning that there needs to be a lot of trichomes on the plant itself. So on the flower, if there's a lot of trichomes, let's just say across any strain you want, let's say that you grew it and there's a lot of trichomes, that's perfect. Now all of them are equal. Once you chop them and you hang them upside down, you do a rough trim on the leaves. Yeah. You leave some of the sugar leaf alone. Once that, it's going to start to cure. Now what you do is you wait until the main stem going to the flower starts to get dry on the outside, but still flexible. What you can then do is you can cut those flowers into mason jars. All right.
Yeah.
What you need to do is you need to open up that mason jar and you need to let it air out to where the flower feels dry to the touch. All right. Then you close the lid for about an hour. You open it and then they're going to feel soft again. What you're doing is you're wicking out of the stem all of its moisture, because as you close it, it's going to start to feed back into the flower itself. You open it, it evaps out. It evaporates out again. And that's called curing. Now, what curing does is it allows bud, and you can smell this from a mile away. Someone who doesn't cure flower properly, it's going to smell like lawn clippings. It's not going to smell good.
Okay,
it should smell like a pungent flower, but a very good smell. Lawn clippings, you know what wet grass smells like, lawn mm-hmm. clippings. Mm-hmm. It doesn't smell good. So what happens, it means they put it away wet. When, you shouldn't smell any type of plantiness with a properly cured bud. You should just smell the smell of the trichomes or of the flower itself. The reason that that's going to make a difference when you smoke it is that you're not going to get any, like say, the chlorophyll of the plant material. It's not going to taste planty to you. It's going to taste very clean. And then, of course, having it sugar-coated, meaning that as you ignite it, you're going to be igniting more of the THC or trichomes. And then that ingestion is just going to be naturally more smoke. The more smoke you bring in, the more volume coming out. There are, however...
Input-output.
But there's also just GDP just has a heavy smoke to it.
Okay.
It's very thick. It's like a chocolate beer in a way. It's sort of like a Guinness, to where it, you know, right. beer's a beer, but there's different kinds of beer.
Oh man, I'm a beer. Yeah. Well, that's it. See, I'm not there with the pot smoking, but I'm certainly there with the beer drinking, and I'm a big beer. I'm a big fan of it, and you're right. The chocolatey, the Guinness, compared to a lager or a
IPA. I made IPA. I made pale ales. I've made chocolate beer. Yeah. I used to dry hop. I would do the same thing you do with an IPA, but instead of I wouldn't dry hop the IPA. I dry hop it, but I use just straight bud as at the dry hop stage.
Yeah,
and it was called bud beer. And bud means cannabis. Yeah, it was called bud
beer. As opposed to Budweiser.
Mm. Well, yeah, yeah.
You could call it Weiser Bud. The Weiser Bud.
Yeah. Mm. you know the bite you get on your tongue with an IPA.
Yeah.
The reason being is because you're dry hopping it. And what that means is, instead of boiling the hops, once it's fermenting in the carbuoy, and once the main rotation has stopped, or the main activity has stopped, the first activity when you're fermenting the first batch, you'll dry hop it, meaning you'll put another load of hops directly in the top and close it again. But they're dry, they're not boiled. So what happens is that the oil extracted from the hops, it's going to be quite natural. Therefore, when it hits your tongue, you feel that bite on the back of your tongue. With an IPA, which is different than a pale ale, all right?
Fantastic.
So that's where that bite comes from, because you're actually it's a different process. So then just think of a bud beer, instead of dry hopping it with hops, you would dry hop it. You would just dry throw bud in there, and then of course the trichomes would then be what hits your tongue instead of the oil from the hops.
Fantastic, so, man. Yeah, I'm telling you, the Dave J's brews of the herb or the beer. I'm telling you, man, if I was to be a wealthy man, I'd be investing in a lot of. I'd just have you. You'd be my Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
RNG, what's his man.
Name? What's his name from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? The
Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka. You're the Willy Wonka of beer and pot. You could be creating all sorts of amazing lollies, mixtures, beers.
Oh, yeah, and I also do confections. So yeah, confections. I'm like, do confections. I do cakes, medicated cakes, all of it.
Fantastic, dude.
And nothing that all looks good. Meaning that sometimes people will make these things and it's like, oh, they're cannabis brownies, but they look like they don't look good or they don't smell good because they use. I'm like, man, these things need to be top shelf. If you're going to make a brownie, if you're going to make a muffin, it needs to look and smell top shelf, you know,
and it has also to have the essence. The essence of the creator has to be part of it.
Correct. So, absolutely. Yep. So you get all that intention. You get all that intention in the final product.
Yeah. Fantastic.
that's really the show. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap, man. Another fantastic episode 15, which is number 6 again. I'll have to reiterate that for those that there are slow of thinking. Stole that one from Elmore. I'll wrap the show up with a song. We're playing some weird stuff at the moment, but I'm going to get Joel on the truthmeats.com. This is where you're going to get the show, the perfect version, which will be an introduction of music and a ending of a song. And I'm going to have a song called Mea Culpa by David Byrne and Brian Eno. Came out early 80s. And it's interesting because it's kind of an angry talkback caller coming in and abusing a host of a radio show. But what they've done is they've slowed down the host who's giving a calm reply and sped up the angry talkback caller from, it could be one of those American talk shows back from the 70s, I guess. But it's a great, very interesting album, My Life in the Bush of Ghosts by Brian Eno and David Byrne. Highly recommend it. And when Joel gets us, he'll put it out with that song on the end. So, Dave, if you want to send the bot out, we'll listen to the intro to My Life in the Bush of Ghosts, Mea Culpa, whatever that means in Latin. I can't quite remember, but it means something or other. Nothing to do with what we're talking about tonight.
I was going to say, Rick, before we scoot, I was just going to say that this idea of the talking about the X-Files in general, of course, we could have gone all over the place. Haven't even talked about the movie, the first one, which the first movie was very good. Fight the Future. I enjoyed that one quite a bit. But that came from a comment left on the YouTube stream. So if someone has anything to say, go ahead and you can leave it on that YouTube stream as a comment. Or you know, if you anything you want to ask, say, do, think, or feel, go ahead.
Yeah.
Pop it out there.
Yeah. Fantastic. And those out there listening, I highly recommend what you do with these shows is listen to them from now backwards, because you're going to go from episode 6 down to episode 10, which is 1, and then you're going to go through the first 10 episodes of the numbers 1 through to 10,
right,
which will slowly get you into how to wake up properly, not some what you think you are if you're only just listening to these first shows. Dave, you've done it again, as usual. I cannot blow enough trichome up your posterior because you've done it again.
I thank my Lord Jesus Christ always for giving me the strength to continue.
Lord Jesus Christ has helped me to get through my, all the trials and tribulations that you get in life. And it's, as Frank says, you know, that the Lord's Prayer is keep it as part of your survival mechanism. Because if you don't have it, you ain't going to get nothing. You're not going to get nothing. Yeah, you know who to bow in front of and stay bowed for the right person and don't take life too seriously. But you need some spiritual fortitude in your heart.
Don't get caught up in the waves. Don't be worried about surfing. Just ride them. No worries. All right, I'll send out the bot. Right, bye bye. Bye.